Revelation chapter 4, and we left off last week with the four living ones. Thanks be to God, those incredible four beasts, as they're called here. And so clearly, and I do encourage, if you've missed the certain studies, go back and listen on the website. Truly, it will do you good. It goes quickly. When we're in tune with God, I'll tell you what, he always leaves you wanting more. And it does. And I would encourage you, when you do miss, go back, because it'll just give that line upon line and just continue to fill in all of those wondrous needs of our lives in knowing the Word of God. But we left off in those four living ones, and we saw that they so clearly represent the bridal company. We went back into Ezekiel and Isaiah, rejoiced in kings and all of that as they were seeing the cherubim. And we saw that these just didn't appear here in Revelation like a lot of people like to think they do. There was the wonderful mention of them, and God's heart and affection was in that bridal truth way back yonder. And they wrote those things for us. They wrote those things down, praise God, for you. For you, and me. They couldn't look into it. They wanted to. The sons of men, the prophets, all of them, praise be to God. They wrote those things, but it was not for them to understand. Praise the Lord. Now, I know we moan and groan a lot about this day and this age with a lot of us hitting us right now, but could we not be happy in Jesus to say, oh my Lord, you have that precious vision for me and for my life, that all of that, praise God, was so that we could receive the better thing. Without us, they cannot be made perfect or complete. Read that in Hebrews chapter 11. It'll just thrill you as the word of God just comes forth in what the Lord has given us in his great, great grace. Praise his name. But we see that these four living ones, again, they're the bridal company, raptured at the first trump. They are raptured at the very moment the tribulation begins. These are the ones, praise the Lord, that we see in the midst of the throne, right in the middle of that throne with Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning jointly with him. As we saw their description last week, as the lion and the ox and the man and the eagle, we saw that those were the depictions completely of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the depictions of Jesus. Praise be to God. She is like him. When you see her by the grace of God, you see him. Praise the Lord. That's why as we begin this and as we'll end, if the Lord tarry, in Revelation. And it, praise God, the end's the beginning anyways. But as she's seen as the Sardis stone, that's the stone that's transparent. It's so perfect and so brilliant because it's transparent and all you see is him. Praise God. And such beauty in that. And then as we saw, they left off because they well know, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It's all him, isn't it? Hallelujah, that wonderful, you just praise him for his holiness and how he has made us holy and made us for him. Praise Jesus. So let's go ahead and in that fourth chapter, let's read verses 9 through 11. We'll begin there tonight. And when those beasts, or the four living ones, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Praise the Lord. A lot of stuff in this, brothers and sisters. And I pray, by the grace of God, we just get lost in love in the details. And I mean that. Just truly, how beautiful this is. And once again, may I state very clearly, even though it's, by his grace, such depth, with until we have that body like unto his own, I'm just going to say this. We haven't even not only scratched the surface, we're just looking in that glass darkly right now. So what's to come, praise be to God. And he'll show us in this, amen. But as we begin here, you see that the beasts are the ones that give thanks in this. And the thing that they say is they say glory, honor, and thanks to him. And this is very encouraging here, is because that encouragement, that last part, thanks to God, that gratitude, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Remember, we've talked about that over and over and over. There's a gratitude in the heart of the bride that exceeds, well, it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Because I could not, nor I believe you, could truly express your gratitude for God. The gratitude for Paul's gospel. The gratitude by the grace of God to understand, to have enlightened eyes of understanding, to know that Jesus Christ, absolutely, there isn't anything he wants more than for you to rule and reign jointly together with him. Praise be to God. The thanks, appreciation of my heart, there's no way I could ever put words to that. Only he would know. But I thank God it is my praise. It is the praise of this bridal group here, that glory and honor and thanks to him. And that thanks is the thankfulness of grace. The thankfulness for his grace. These are they that are the fullness to the praise of the glory of his grace. You'll find that right there in Ephesians, that we are vessels made, we're for him, to the praise and the glory of his grace. That's the height of heights. It's all the grace of God. Bridal vessels. These are bridal vessels. And truly, the word vessel, its true meaning means adding to the usefulness of the husband. A vessel adds to the usefulness of the husband. And they are the ones, these four beasts, they are the ones that add to the usefulness of the husband. And you'll notice here that they are leading the praise and worship. Thank the Lord. And we see here, and we're going to see this over and over and over throughout Revelation, they worship. They worship. Praise be to God, they worship. Because they're in love. They're lovers. That's what worship is. Worship isn't. Let me express this. I pray that our whole life is a worship to him. That there is a worship going on always. But we're talking about this true worship, this drawing nigh and fervent love to kiss. That is the definition of worship. To draw nigh and fervent love to kiss. Praise God. That's incredible. And a lot of folks that want to say, well, you know, the worship leader is the one who comes up and sings songs. Well, I thank the Lord as we sing songs. I believe by the grace of God we're in tune. That should be worship, a part of the worship. But this worship that we're speaking of here, this is the knowing him. This is knowledge of him. This is the intimacy of a husband and a wife. This is the drawing nigh and fervent love to kiss. This is something that children don't know. This is something that the Shulamite sister that had no breasts, she doesn't know this. Amen. She can sing choruses. She can sing them till she's blue in the face. But she in no wise is ready or able or has any understanding of drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss a husband. And that's the truth and the grace and spirit and truth that, praise the Lord, has grown this masterpiece up for him. The growing in the word of his grace. And praise God, this is exactly in John 4:23, who the Father said, this is the age, this is the time, these are the ones that I am now looking for. They are known as true worshipers, sincere lovers of his Son. And they are who? Ones that worship him in song. Sure, they worship him in song and all of these different things. And I'm not just going off on that, but it seems to be a real emphasis anymore. You know what I'm saying. But no, the word of God says that worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now let's go back and think of who the Holy Ghost is. That's the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one who takes the love of God and sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. That basically, if you look at the interpretation, it's a geyser, it's a gusher. All right? Well, when I think of geyser, gusher love, naturally speaking, that's courtship. That's the love that, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, I had geyser, gusher love in a sense for my friends or my parents or whatever. That's a bridal love. That's someone in that capacity of love that it just, you know. And then in spirit and in truth. So in that love shed abroad, my goodness, there's the Spirit again. Just as he told, Jesus told the disciples, I have many things to say unto you. Amen? But he said, you can't bear them now until he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Amen? All right? He's with you, and he shall be in you. And when he's come, he will guide you into all truth. What? It's not hard. Amen? It is not hard. The Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, is the one that infilling, that power, praise God. And we're going to speak of power tonight. That power comes from that knowledge, the knowledge of his truth. Think of the knowledge of this truth that we're learning. But that knowledge is love, is it not? It's love. That's all it is. Praise God. It's the capacity of the love that would grow in us, that we would truly by faith believe, that we would grow up in Christ in us, so much so that we would be ready to be offered as his bride. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's called love. That's called maturity. That's the readiness. You know, even in these royalty families over the years and years and all of the nations and things of that nature, they would have arranged marriages or different ones where the royalty was going to marry the royalty. And they would be born as a baby. And they said, well, this girl and this boy or whatever, they're going to be wed someday. But they're just babies. But they had to be trained up. They had to understand. They had to understand their birthright. They had to understand, again, the royalty of who they were in that bloodline. But more so than that, they even had to grow up into that knowledge of how to be that wife and how to be that husband. You think about with Esther and all of the different things that she went through. But it's said that the Holy Ghost or the chamberlain gave her those things speedily. I love that. See, a lot of times say, oh, well, you just kind of get in the back of the line. That's why I love the panting that comes in this church oftentimes. People come in here and bam. They're in the front row. Bother some people, that's good. Might get you in the front row. You know, we'll have everybody sitting in the front row. And I'm not saying that that means everything or anything, but I thank God. I think sometimes we need to move down a little bit closer. I think sometimes we can get a little bit like the prophets that kept seeing the things afar off by the grace of God. And again, I'm not insinuating. I just want to encourage by the grace of God. Amen? So this is what it is. All right. Now, these are the true lovers, because that is what that's what worship is. They love him. They worship. They draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. And you notice here again, as I said, about these four beasts. They're the ones that bring in the praise, and then they lead the praise and worship. And look what happens. They set off the 24 elders. It's wonderful. We know it's the Lord, but praise be to God, that fire, it just... You know, it just kind of went right through the throne room. Praise God. And it's wonderful. But that fire sets off the 24 elders. And it says here that the 24 elders, they fall down before the Lord. And they cast their crowns. Now again, notice it's so specific that it says that the 24 elders are the ones that cast their crown. And in the entire word of God, and especially in this Revelation study, every word, every phrase is so powerful and detailed in its meaning, and we need to know these things. And these 24 elders, in such beautiful, great humility, knowing that only he is worthy, they cast off their crown. Praise the Lord. How wonderful. That best be encouraging to us. And by the grace of God, that spirit and heart should be our heart right now. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen? But praise the Lord, we know that in the four living ones, that company, those beasts, it does not say that they cast off their crowns, because they will not cast off their crown. The queen will never take off her crown. It's an insult to the husband. It's been that way. God understands what he's given us in man's tradition. Most of that tradition, if it's any of honor, it's all of God. But it would be a dishonor to the king. And what does the word of God tell us? Those that would be the Philadelphia company, hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Praise his name. So we're thankful again. And why would it not be? Because it's a better thing. It is this bridal encouragement. It's not a comparing here, brothers and sisters. It's just what the word of God says it is. One star differeth from another in glory. And I thank God for what glory he has offered to us. So, going on now to verse 11. Also, so much wonderful encouragement here. But notice the difference again in what the 24 elders say And this will be a precious encouragement, I believe, all the way through Revelation. How preferred the things that are said about the four beasts. How elect everything that they do, everything that they say. It's just a little better thing over and over than any of the other companies. Now, if you read here, it says, so the beasts give thanks back in 9, and they say glory, honor, and thanks. And then the four 24 elders, they say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. So again, we see the beasts are saying give, and then we have the 24 elders saying receive. Do you see the difference there? Do you see the difference there? Read that for yourself. See, the four beasts, they're thanking him because he gives it. The 24 elders are thanking him and saying that he's receiving it. Huh? It's very precious. It's very subtle in the things that are said here and how they're said. And I think what really sums this up is if you think that word thanks, remember, the four living ones say thank you. There was something that was received of them. They took that power. They understand that power that was given. The Holy Ghost, amen. Do you have Holy Ghost power? Oh, yes, you do. Hallelujah. And is it not that Holy Ghost power that causes us by the grace of God to be the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth? Amen. So praise God. They understand and they praise him because you gave that. You're the giver of that. And you gave me that. Praise God. And they rejoice in that and give him thanks. Now, what the 24 elders say back to him in this wonderful encouragement, but they said to receive glory and honor and power. What the 24 elders are doing is, which is so sweet, but they're praising the Lord for his power. They're praising the Lord for his omnipotence. They're praising the Lord, as it said, for thou hast created all things. Praise God. There's a wonderful praise in that, but it's not the same praise as the four living ones. There is a difference. And we thank God that we can receive these little things, just little things, which I think are huge things by the grace of God. And then at the end of that, which I think is so very, very sweet, if you notice the end of verse 11, and we'll read it again. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, this is the 24 elders saying this, to receive glory, honor, and power. So they're praising him for this. For thou hast created all things. I see these things as two separate encouragements. Maybe I see too much. I don't know. But I thank God for what I see, and I rejoice in it. But he says, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, who are the they are? Was it all the things that were created? Or is it the 24 elders looking at those four living ones and says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Oh, wait a second. Gives me chills thinking. Now I'm right back into Ephesians. Are you back in Ephesians chapter 1? Where it says it was for the good pleasure of his will. This is speaking of ecstasy. This is speaking of that height of love. This is that bridal knowledge and encouragement. I understand it could be in that thankfulness for that God created all things for him, by him, for all things made for him. I understand that. I get that. I thank the Lord that I receive that. But I thank the Lord too that I also see the sun glory and the glory of this wonderful bride, praise his name, that soon John's going to be taken up to heaven to get a look at her, praise God. All right. So it's some good stuff, and we'll just rejoice till he come. Hallelujah. But that's in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. I'm going to go ahead and just read that real quick. It says in Ephesians 1, 4, 5, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should, isn't that something? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I'm starting to get some encouragement of a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. You jump down to verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to what? His good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The good pleasure he purposed in himself. I believe that could be speaking of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Could that not be speaking of the rib portion, praise the Lord, that came out from the body? Hallelujah. Amen. Even if you're here tonight, by the grace of God, go listen to it again. Comes quick. But it's all there. And they really are, by the grace of God, just cookies on the shelf. Just line up on line and line up on line. Let's meditate on these things. I'll tell you what, it sure will speed up the time till he come. Hallelujah. All right, now let's go on back to verse chapter 5. And let's go ahead and hit the first 7 verses here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, we know that's Jesus, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Praise the Lord. Man, we're seeing some things now. But we go on into this. So we see another vision here in this throne room. We see truly the Trinity, but God is sitting on the throne. And it says in his right hand, that speaks of strength there, there's a book. And actually, that's a scroll. And we've already been introduced to this scroll back in Revelation 4:1. And in Revelation 4:1, and remember when John was, after that first trumpet sounded, he was taken into heaven. And it says, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talk with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So in that scroll, in those seals of that scroll, are the things which must be hereafter. These are the things of the tribulation. These are the things of the millennium. So that's what's contained here in this book or this scroll. So what's so beautiful here about this scroll is it has writings on both sides. And I did not know this, but the Lord sure is sweet to reveal these things to you. That scroll and the writing on both sides is how transactions for land were accomplished in the Old Testament times. I don't know how many might know that or not. But what that was about was the writing on the inside of the scroll was the description of the possession, meaning this maybe the land, what would describe the land, or in this case, what's on the inside is the promises that will be, praise God, the treasure, amen? On the outside of that scroll were the requirements needed to be able to own the scroll or purchase the scroll or have the scroll. So you think about the requirement of the Lamb, that he was the only one. Well, we know that that was the cross. Praise God. It is finished. He was the only one that could take that. He's the only one, praise God, that could bring forth the full judgment. Because it's in him. It's his blood. Praise God. But even though that was finished at the cross and all those years back, the Lamb still could not take that because there was one last requirement on that scroll. He had to have his wife. Amen? He could not take the throne as God without his wife. So praise the Lord, all the things that had to be done, all the requirements that had to be completed, were always on the outside of a scroll for the one to come to possess the scroll. That's why at this time and this time only is he able to come and to possess that scroll. He had to wait for his wife. Praise the Lord. Amen. Such sweet encouragements here. How much by his grace what we are offered, meaning to him. But then we see that there's great concern. Because this strong angel, and this strong angel by the grace of God, as we'll continue to see in this loud voice, these are the ones that will be part of that, the four living ones. This is, again, that angel means a messenger. Doesn't necessarily mean as we think of angels in our society, but this angel means a messenger. And usually as we see throughout Revelation, the one with a loud voice that's speaking or calling out these things, we're going to see that it's one of the seven angels, which is also referred to as the four beasts, which will also be referred to sometimes as a strong angel. Praise God. So this is what we have here. But this strong angel says, who's worthy to open the seals, which we're going to see opened, thanks be to God, as we get into chapter 6. But as he says here, no man is able, on earth or in heaven, to bring forth the end of the age, to judge the world in its unrighteousness, except the Lamb, except the word of God. Hallelujah. We know this is the all-powerful word. Let's know it. Thank the Lord. You think it can take care of all your needs if this is going to be the judge of the world? You think so? You think it can handle it, huh? Praise God. He's got to remind me that sometimes. And I say, okay, I get it. But see, John weeps. And John weeps because he doesn't understand. And you think about the fear and the sadness that there wasn't anybody worthy to open that book. And I have to tell you, I'm thankful that I will never know that sadness. Are you thankful you'll never know that sadness of John? Because you know this. Praise God. I don't worry about that seal and that scroll being taken. Because I know by the grace of God, it's going to be. I know who's going to take it. And I know the only hold up on it right now is that he who hinders upon this earth, which is the bride of Christ, until she is taken away. And then that scroll is going to be taken. And judgment is going to come forth. Praise God. This is exciting. Know this for yourself and be encouraged with it. Because of Paul's gospel and the Holy Ghost, praise God, it's been revealed to us. Now, verse 5 gets really revealing here. And I thank the Lord. Let's read that again, verse 5 of 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, notice here, it's an elder that comforts. Praise God. That overcoming encouragement that comes from one of the 24 elders, as we've studied over the past couple weeks, the full overcomers of the Old Testament. We understand that these are the worthies of faith. And that's what's so special here. It's an elder. And what this elder says is another proof of who this elder is, how he refers to Jesus Christ. Think of this. How would you refer to Jesus Christ? Would you say the Lion of Judah? We know he is. Would you say he is the Root of David? Well, we know he is. No. I call him my Lord and Savior, but in the greatest of praise to him, my bridegroom. Amen. See, this elder, this is how they honor him. This is how they know him. This is the praise of the Old Testament full overcomer. This is the Lion of Judah. This is that faith and that wonderful grace and that precious testimony of faith that they lived. They knew him as this. They testified of these things in Jeremiah, in Psalm, praise God, in Samuel. These were the things that were said, that this was the Root of David, out of David's lineage. That king was coming and that throne would be forever. This is how they referred to him. This is what's so encouraging here, which is so incredible, is that once again, just the little things, it's so sweet. But this is why this expression, by the grace of God, comes from those of the Old Testament. Praise God. Now, at this time, I also know that when Jesus Christ takes the throne, oh my goodness, yes, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know that. But to us, praise God, the Lamb, the Bridegroom. Amen? Amen. I think that's some pretty exciting stuff, though. So thank him for it. And then in verse 6, he says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now again, such a powerful, precious verse with so much encouragement in it, brothers and sisters. And, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord has encouraged us to go into more details again in this study. We didn't have some of these details that the Holy Ghost had been, you know, moving in the meeting with, and we're just going to trust him for it. But this is powerful, again, how these things are stated. And notice right here at the beginning of this, it says, "In the midst of the throne and of the four beasts." Okay? There's no break there. There's no difference. The midst of the throne and the four beasts. It's together. They're in that midst of it. It's one and the same. Because why? Because they're in the midst of the throne. Because by the grace of God, those four living ones, those are the throne dwellers. Those are the ones that will rule and to reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. Those four beasts, praise God, they're mentioned together. And it's so sweet the way that it says this as well, too. Of these, it gives us an insight as well, too, of that Old Testament cherubim. It says, "In the midst of the throne and of the four beasts." So I kind of think of, if you remember, as we've been talking about, the lid, the covering of the ark. Remember, that's the mercy seat. And out of the mercy seat, made of one piece of beaten gold, came those two cherubim. Amen. And they looked right over. Their wings would touch. Praise God for that encouragement that they give to one another. But their sight never went to each other. Their sight was completely fixed forever on the mercy of the Lord. Praise God. It's always on the mercy of the Lord. But what's so sweet here is what was in between them was really the presence of God. They were in the midst of it. The presence of God was in the midst of them. It's still in that type. It's still all here. But the thing that I love about this, again, is it separates it so beautifully to show us that the two companies, the four living ones and the 24 elders, are two separate companies. And as it says here, even again in verse 6, "And in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts." So again, the midst of the throne and the four beasts are basically, they're said in the same sentence. They're set in the same thought, I should say, that they're together. It's all in the midst. And then it goes to say, "And in the midst of the elders." And in the midst of the elders. That is something that is different. It's separate. It's another ring, if it would be. And it's true. And actually, if you look at this, the word midst, get a little bit more detailed here. That is in the middle. It can also be amidst or among. Among. Well, we know that when the four beasts in verse 6 were introduced in the midst of the throne, it wasn't that they were among the throne. They're in the middle of the throne. They're in that ruling and reigning place. Well, here again, the way that it would read, the throne and in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, that's not saying among. That again is in. But then, "And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb," that would be among them, his omnipresence. I just think it is. It's so beautiful how God, again, in his details, if we'll allow him to take us there, he'll show us over and over and over again the same proofs, the same word, the same promises. And he'll make that more of a foundation of your faith. Amen. That you'll stand. And I'm talking that he would build us to a point of a pillar stand. Amen? That I don't care. Everything else might not be remaining. The you know, the ceiling might be gone, the walls are out of here, but if you've ever seen, again, those pictures back there in Greece and all of that, the one thing that you'll see consistently with all of those ruins, you'll see them pillars. Things will be blown apart, but there'll always be the foundation, praise God, and the pillar. Amen. He doesn't give us these types and shadows for us. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. My wife would have to shake me up sometimes and say, don't you see that? Oh, yeah, we see that. No, we're going to come back here and we're going to look at it. Okay. You know, but it's to enjoy. Praise the Lord. Isn't that really what it is? So I pray that the Lord has this. And I believe he wouldn't have brought you here if this wouldn't be our enjoyment. And again, to continue to pray, Jesus, that this isn't just a fact-based mission. This is, praise God, the love letters. These are the revelation, hallelujah, to my heart that proves to me over and over. Because you know what? I doubt. I'll be quick to doubt. I'll be quick to wonder. I'll be quick to forget. I'll have that attention span like a flea, and I'll be thinking of something else in about 5 minutes. But I need to know these things, and I need to know them over and over and over. Oh, and by the way, it says in the Word of God, could you imagine? And giving the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip. Praise God. Building yourselves up on what? Your most holy faith. Holy, set apart. Let me tell you something. This believing Paul's gospel, you're way out from among the camp. You're so far out there, they want you to stay out there. Don't let that Christian come around me. They believe way too much. Well, thanks be to God. I hope they can't see me anymore. And by the way, I do pray for you. Come on. Join us. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing, is it not? But it is the truth of the matter. And it's not to be annoying. I don't want to be annoying to anybody. But by the grace of God, this is truth. How could I not speak and say and testify of the things which I have seen and heard? Amen? Amen. And we can try to soft sell this, but we don't have time. I want to be amongst those that believe. Praise God. And you know what? It can happen quick. And you know what can happen quick too? A fading away. By the grace of God, to have it stirred and continue to be stirred. As Paul had to go back to Timothy, stir up the gifts, son. Stir up the gifts, son. Wednesday night's a great way and a great time that you're stirring up the gift. Because, yea, these are the deep things of God. Praise his name. So we thank him here in this. But we see that the 24 elders here, among the Lamb is amongst them, not in that same place as the four living ones. But then, and again, we'll always see this order time and time again of the four beasts. And as you go on in Revelation, we'll begin to hear less of the 24 elders. You'll continue to hear about the four beasts because they're truly going to take that place of jointly ruling and reigning together with him. When we get into chapter 6 and the seals being opened and the wrath being poured forth, it's each beast that will be calling. It'll be those angels and beasts that, and again, the messengers, the angels, those seven angels, basically another name, if you will, for the four living ones, another name, if you will, for the bride of Christ. And those are the ones that will be pouring forth the judgment with him. Remember how we read that all in the Song of Solomon? It's all there. It truly is. Go back and listen to Song of Solomon. Because all of those things that they say in that love letter, yeah, people ask, well, why is the Song of Solomon in there? Oh, it must be this holy matrimony book. It is a holy matrimony book. It's the matrimony of Jesus Christ and his bride. But then it also talks about their wedding day. And it talks about so sweetly when they go on their honeymoon. And the honeymoon part is the tribulation as well. You know, a lot of people think, well, how could that be a honeymoon? Loving. I'll tell you what, when you're so in love with the Lord and you're ruling and reigning with him, and on your honeymoon you get to go out and you get to pour forth the wrath and open these seals with him, you're going to be in just fine spirits. It's the truth. I'm just a nut. But I'm nutty enough to believe the word of God for what it says. I thank the Lord I am. Show me where it's not. But I'd rather us just come together and say, you know what? Let's search the scriptures to see what is so. Amen. All right. So here we go. Another beautiful thing about this verse, the focus of it all, which is everything, is the Lamb. And very specifically, notice it's the Lamb slain. And that is the beauty of it all, is his death. The magnificence of it all, praise God, was that he gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's why it's always the Lamb's wife. I'll show you the Lamb's wife. See, that precious, wonderful, precious expression beyond any words, comprehension of grace and mercy, the cross, that he became sin for us who knew no sin. Amen. And that is that mercy and praise for his grace that the cherubim represent, that they never take their eyes off of that. They never look at one another to compare themselves. They never look at somebody else or themselves to say, oh, look at what I've done. It's all the grace and mercy of the Lord. And that is what's so precious. It's marvelous. And it's marvelous to get in by the grace of God into that mercy grace zone to where we begin to just absolutely ooze with the praise and the thanksgiving for the grace of God. Because you realize how fortunate beyond, how blessed we are. And truly, by grace, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So blessed that we have enlightened eyes of understanding, that we can look into these things that the prophets wrote of, that wanted to look into them, but it was for us. The mystery of his will, as we read back there in Ephesians, the mystery of his will. We're in the time to know the mystery of his will. The bridal message. Praise God. Yes. Yes, yes. Even wake us up. We came to Bible study, but we need to be awake, huh? But see, the focus of it all is the Lamb slain. We'll go ahead. We'll close with this tonight. But the beauty even of this, and this is another incredible. There's many ways in the Greek, you know, the Greek language, and in Hebrew, it's far superior to English because they have so many different expressions of pretty much every different word. It's incredible. That's why we're so thankful for the revelation of God to these different ones that had transcribed the Word of God, that were encouraged of the Word of God to write these things. It's just so wonderful. But this word lamb, there's many different words in the Greek for lamb. This happens to be the word lamb in the Greek that means the littlest, the weakest, the most innocent, gentle. If you want to say the little lammy of the lammy, the little lamb. This is him. Amen. The lamb. The little one. Showing how weak. Showing how absolutely he was given for us. But yet, this little lamb has now the seven horns. Perfect strength. The eyes of, again, the perfect vision. Always very God of very God. Don't get me wrong. It was the Lamb of God, but always very God of very God. But now in everything, everything's been given over, and everything now is absolutely apparent. The seven spirits, the perfect will, the witness. Praise God that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That he is King of kings and Lord of lords. But because he took that place of the weakest, lower than the low, this is why, by the grace of God, all glory is to him, the very plan of God. Amen. And in verse 7, finally, we see that he takes the scroll. Praise God, he has his wife. He has those four living ones. And now will unveil and pour forth with her the judgment of the world. And we're on that. It's right on the cusp. We are so, praise be to God, there. As a Christian, if you don't even have an inkling that this is about wrap-up time, you truly are in a comatose state of Christianity. But for us who know and to know this doctrine, Oh my, as Brother Hill used to say many times, Lord, let the wings begin to flutter on my back. Let me understand, you know, let me have that fellowship with you of divine, that it truly is a life of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. That overcoming, my goodness, he's overcome the world. I've overcome the world for you. And by the grace of God in giving us this abounding hope, and I'll tell you what, you want joy and peace in your life? Believe Paul's gospel. You want rejoicing and abounding in hope in your life? Believe by the grace of God and hear and continue to grow in Paul's gospel. Those are the happiest people I've ever met. Didn't matter, again, what was going on in their lives. I saw tragedy upon tragedy. I've been around this place and I've been around these people that have loved the Lord in this capacity, I'm telling you, for many, many years. And I have met, thanks be to God, a lot of my family in this life and in this world. And it's not just partial to this place. It's partial to a message. And it's a message that's rare. And I've never met, as I've been on my travels, more joyful people, not even to be compared, than people that truly dwell and rejoice and live the bridal message glory. It's so true. I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful by the grace of God, I have the privilege to fellowship with them. It's a wonderful thing. That even when I get out there a little bit, oh my goodness, I just got a text from brother so-and-so and this and that. And you know what? Where have I been for the last 5 minutes worrying about this? Huh? I got in a conversation about who is going to be what? Going to lead who? Oh my goodness. Don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Amen. Chuckle at it. By the grace of God, rejoice. Yeah, amen. I'm not from here. I guess you are. I'm not. He tells you you're not, Christian. I had to say that to a guy the other day. He said, he kept telling me about this and that. And I said, Christian. He looked at me. I just had met him, but he was telling me all about why we needed to do this and that about this election coming up. And I said, Christian. I know he thought, wait a second. My name's Bill. I said, no, Christian. Wake up. Wake up. Come on. I get it. I see what's going on. I could tell you, sure, if we had leadership and would have leadership that would really turn to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. What power. The Lord says to still pray for them in power, and I do, no matter who it would be. When I was in school, my mother used to tell me, pray for your teachers. I'd say, you pray for them that they don't show up today? You know? No. But you pray for them. You pray for people. Amen. And a lot of times before you ever start praying for people, you better get on your knees and pray for yourself. Get into this. This is the reality we're speaking of tonight. Just like those, truly. And again, let it encourage your hearts all throughout the Word of God. But one of the most spectacular things ever, ever, ever. His birth. Praise God. Amen. And they said for years, you know, centuries, the prophets wrote of it. They said, he'll come. He's going to be born of that virgin. He's coming. Isaiah told specifically, exactly, to a detail. And yet it was just a handful. But I'll tell you what, that was a handful. That was full of joy and peace and believing. And oh, what a wonderful thing to say, mine eyes. Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I believe by the grace of God, I keep believing. And I'm going to see, now mine eyes see my bridegroom. What do you think? I believe he's able. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.